Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. I've got an absolute stud on the podcast today, a young gun who's making shit happen, taking action, and from what I can see anyways, having a good balance in life, looking after his health, building a business, enjoying life, having a good lifestyle. Dylan Marley, I've came across him through another podcast that we've both been featured on, Before the Money. He's the owner of Cold to Sold, a Australian, New Zealand, and Canadian marketing agency that help entrepreneurial agents and brokers earn more income while working less hours, which is a big thing that I'm passionate about as well. So I look forward to diving into that. Brother, firstly, thank you for being on the podcast today.
No, thanks for having me, brother. That's an unreal intro, mate. You really, made me sound like a really good person. So I appreciate it.
Well, man, something that stands out to me as well, and I know some people through social media, it's very much smoke and mirrors, but from what I've been following you for a while now, since I came across your podcast probably a year and a half ago, and I've been watching your content, your consistency, man. You just seem like someone who's genuine, who's putting in the work, who's chasing goals, who's looking after themselves at the same time as well, which is huge. Like a lot of people, when they get into business or they start chasing goals, is they just get so tunnel vision on money, achieve, which maybe there's a time and place to do that. But then their health turns to shit, their relationships, their family, and just they're so broke. All they have is money. So it's cool and refreshing to see what you're doing, man. So we'll dive into what you do in a second. But man, I'd love to hear your story. So I guess take it as far as you want to go. How have you gone from who you are to who you are today?
Yeah, I guess we have to start from the start, I guess. So yeah, I was born in Papua New Guinea. In a small mining town called Tuberville. And then basically we moved over to central Queensland, to Rockhampton, because my dad got a job out in Gracemere at a mine, I think it was. And I basically grew up in Rockhampton, played footy. The big goal was to play for the Cowboys after finishing school.
I'm a rugby league fan. We can chat footy as well.
Once I got to grade 11 and 12, you know, your teachers start to ask you questions like, what do you want to do? Parents start to ask you questions as well. And I guess I took that route that everyone usually does. They either get a trade or they go to university. And I ended up going to university through a course that I did. So I actually ended up at the time, it's not the system that they have now. They had an ATAR system. They had an OP system. Yeah. And I ended up getting like a really, really bad OP. I think it was like an OP 18 or something like that. I ended up doing a course to get into the degree that I want, which was like a Cert 3 in business admin. And I moved down to Brisbane in 2019, the first year out of school, 2019. Still fresh, so young, moved here. And that's when reality hit me. And obviously I'm not at university anymore. I just decided it wasn't for me. Ended up dropping out after, I think, a year. And then I just went to the working world. I got a job in a warehouse. And that's when I was really like, oh, like this is reality hit me. Like, this is what it's like, you know, working a 9-to-5. This is what your parents do. This is how they look after you. I absolutely hated it at that warehouse job. I remember the first shift that I had, I was just crying in the car after it. Because I was like, wow, like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Like surely there has to be something else. I ended up staying there for, I think, like a year and a half. And at the time I was just, you know, as a kid does, I was like, I got to get out of this, you know, sort of like rat race thing. And I was still 18 at the time. So I was just YouTubing, like, how to make money online. Obviously you come across e-commerce, dropshipping, affiliate marketing and stuff like that. Did a bit of e-commerce, didn't really have too much success with it. But while I was doing that and still working at the warehouse, it's actually a funny story. This girl that I used to see was having a housewarming. So I went to that housewarming, and at that housewarming, I met some really successful people in the online space. And that's when my perspective on life just completely changed. And I was just like, these kids are like the same age as me, one older, one younger, and they're making double my salary and they don't have to do anything. I'm just like, what is going on? I networked with them. And then, they basically, one of them took me under their wing and they basically showed me the whole agency model, and I ended up leaving the warehouse, got a job in sales at a gym at Good Life. And then I went over to Fitness Cartel, and the goal was to stack my commission by courses and mentorships and coaching until I can actually leave my job. And I think a year later, I basically left my job at the end of 2021. And then, yeah, started cold to sold. And now we manage anywhere from 20 to 25 clients per month, which is really good. So, yeah, that's my story.
That's fucking awesome, man. Really, really awesome. It seems like, I guess, it's very awesome to see someone who was going down the traditional pathway. And you said some awesome lines, how you cried in the car is like, is this all there is, right? Is this me for the next 60 years? And the fact that you were asking those types of questions, the fact that you're YouTubing, you were looking for answers, you were looking for how can I do this a better way? There has to be a better way, right? You had, I guess, the blessing and the opportunity of having bumping into networking with some really successful people, which is awesome. So probably mentorship plays a big role with you. Man, awesome story. I guess we'll go back and forth. I'd love to hear, what are you doing now? And then we might go back to that story a little bit more. So the agency now, tell us about the agency. What is it that you do?
Yeah, so basically I own a marketing agency called Cold to Sold, and we help basically real estate agents get more listings. And obviously increase their GCI, so their gross commission income, every single year. And we basically do that through paid advertising. So all a marketing agency really is at the end of the day is you're bringing customers to a business. Now, you could be helping, you know, barbershops, supermarkets. All you're doing is just bringing more traffic to them so they can sell it. And that's all a marketing agency is. And we've been running for around about 2.5 years now, going on to 3. Which is really good. So yeah, it's basically paid advertising for real estate agents. Yeah.
Powerful, man. How did you start? Because I find it's like Tony Robbins uses, like, there's life cycles of the business or stages of the business. It's like when you're a newborn baby, you're more vulnerable. Yeah. You're going to be more careful. It's more likely to get injured and fall over and die versus when you're an adult, you can handle a bit more challenges. So what was the starting of that like, starting this business?
Yeah, good question. So obviously, when I was still at the warehouse and I was YouTubing how to make money online, the first thing that comes up is obviously dropshipping. So I think dabbling in that, I sort of learned the basics of what I'm doing right now. So digital marketing, just through trial and error, you know, testing different products and stuff like that. So, and then obviously meeting those really successful friends, they basically helped me. It's a lot better to learn from someone that's doing what you're doing already. That's why I'm so big on mentorships. Like, it's probably the best way for me that I learn, because I'm either like a visual learner or a practical learner. I think through obviously the background in e-commerce and then getting to sort of like mentorships is how I sort of started it, because yeah, there's so much, I guess, courses and stuff like that out there, but investing in yourself is probably the best ROI you can do. Like, it's not crypto, anything else like that. Like, investing in yourself is the biggest ROI. So that's basically, to answer your question, that's basically how I sort of started, is I just learned from someone that was doing what I wanted to do, and they showed me the ins and outs of the whole business model. Yeah.
Powerful, man. Powerful. We'll go into mentorship, because I just heard a lot of learning, self-development, open-mindedness, mentorship is a big theme of you. Can you go a bit granular with that same question? And like, how did you do it? How did you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to start a business? How did you pick the business? What did you do to get started? Did you make a ABN? Did you start sending out messages? How did you get your first clients? For the people listening, I just want to paint the picture of what the reality is like starting a business. Because everyone says, not everyone, but a lot of people say, I want to have financial freedom. I want to make lots of money. I want to make my own business. You've gone from someone who's trial and error, had a couple of failures, I'm sure, but you've started from nothing and you've built a very successful business right now. So what was it like? Like, what was day one like? How did you get started? How did you start getting clients? Run us through that.
Yeah. So basically at the start, this is exactly how I got my first, I think, 5-6 clients. Was the first one was through a mutual friend at the gym. So he had sort of like their buyer's agents. So that's sort of how I got into it. And I was talking to him at the gym, which is good, because always going to the gym, people want to improve themselves. And he was like, I'm advertising on realestate.com right now and just not getting as much leads through and not as much booked calls. And I was like, have you ever tried, you know, digital marketing? I can do it for you. And I didn't even know at the time what I was doing. Cool. And he's like, yeah, how much should I pay you? And I was like, what? I was like, I work here. I'm like, I can't do anything. So that's sort of how I got my first client, was through basically mutual friends. And a lot of people overlook like their inner circle, family, friends, as to getting their first client, and then just overlook it. Like, I need to go meet someone else, or I need to go to this office. When if you just look at the people around your life, you don't even know, but they might become a potential client. So that's how I got him. And the goal was to use a case study. So I could get him really good results, use it as a case study to get other clients. So after I basically set up his ads and everything like that myself, it was just me at the time. I basically used it as a case study, created a website, and I showed, it was basically like a funnel. And I was like, this is what we did for this person here in Brisbane. And then I created an email. So at the time, my agency was called my last name, so Marley Media. And I got an email, and then I went on Upwork and I paid this VA to scrape me like a list of 500 real estate agents all across Queensland.
Oh.
So he basically, I think it was a she, sorry. She gave me that list. So it looked bad because, like, you know how you get spammy emails?
Yeah.
I chucked it all in an email in BCC.
Yeah.
And I just sent the same generic email to like 500 agencies.
Epic, man.
Looking back now, I'm like, that's so stupid. But it worked. So yeah, I ended up getting two more clients out of that because they looked at the case study and I wasn't just some, you know, random 19-year-old just emailing them like, hey, do you want, you know, to get more leads and stuff like that? Like, I actually had a really good case study of us, you know, generating some leads. And not only that, but they were making more money than they did without my service. You know what I mean? So it looked really good when that email came through. And yeah, ended up getting a meeting, I think 48 hours after. And I didn't even know what Zoom was at the time. So I went in person to the meeting. I went in person and I got my girlfriend at the time to drop me off at, I think it was in West End here in Brisbane. And yeah, ended up closing that contract for, I think it was 5,000, the total value of the contract, and it was paid out monthly. And that's when I was like, my whole reality just changed. I just was just like, oh my gosh, like I just did this off one email. But yeah, does that answer your question? Like, that's sort of how I got my first few clients. And I was just doing the same thing. I was paying someone off Upwork to give me an email list in Queensland, New South Wales, you know, Newcastle. You can get as specific as you want. And then just sending out a generic email with the case study to it. Yeah.
Man, this is beautiful. This is gold, man. Really, really practical stuff. Something that stands out to me, man, you can use the word resourceful, but you don't let like your circumstances stop you. It's like, look, I don't have any connections, so fuck it, I can't get any clients. Yeah. Like, you Upwork, got this VA to scrape 500 emails, put an email together. I'm sure looking back in it, it probably wasn't the best worded email compared to what you can do now, but you're doing it, which is, I think so many people don't do that. They just don't make shit happen. I'm curious, this might even tie back. I didn't know you were born in PNG. I've got, I don't know if this is a generalization. Every PNG person I've met, I've played footy with a couple of them. Yeah. A couple of names come to mind. The Hunters come to mind. They're just always the nicest fucking people ever. I've never met a bad PNG. I'm sure you have, but I've always met nice people from PNG. I'm just curious, man, where does your resourcefulness come from? You're someone who, you came to a job, you literally cried your first day. Is that all there is? You're on YouTube. You're speaking to people. You're reading books. We can get into some books soon. But you're just probably unconsciously or consciously like, how do I make this happen? How do I make this work? There has to be a way. Where does that belief or that mindset, where does that come from for you?
I think it's definitely from my parents. And in being more specific, my dad. Because my dad was basically like, he's my role model. Like, getting emotional here. Like, he basically moved us from Papua New Guinea to here. And that's, if you've ever been to Papua New Guinea, like, it's still developing. Like, it's not as to the same standard as Australia in terms of financial and education and everything like that. So for him to, I don't think he even finished school. He only went up to grade 10 and then he got a trade to become an electrician. And for him to sacrifice, and I think he only came here with like 30 grand. And that's, like, looking back now, that's very hard to support a family of two. Me, my brother, and mom, sorry, three. So yeah, probably from my dad, just because like he's the most driven person like I've ever met. And I think I get that from him. So yeah, being resourceful and stuff like that, for him to come here and then obviously get us citizenship, get us a house, send me and my brother to school. Like, it's a lot to ask, especially when you're in a new country and you don't know necessarily how to speak English. You know what I mean? So yeah, probably from my dad is where I get my resourcefulness from. Yeah.
What are some of the traits or beliefs that he instilled into you that served you?
The first one that comes to mind is living below your means, like, and working obviously extremely hard, because I think their mindset is a little bit different just because of the time they grew up. So he was always like, you got to get good grades, you got to go to uni, which is why I took that route, because foreign parents, they always want you to do better when you move to a different country. So yeah, I think living below your means, hard work, and like you said, resourcefulness are sort of the traits that I get from him. And even my mom as well, because like growing up, like when you've never had a lot of money before, you're gonna like internally want that. Like you're gonna want that so much, you know, coming to school and all your friends' parents' cars are like 10 times nicer than yours. And you're just like, how come they have that and like I don't? I think that's sort of where my drive sort of came from, because I never really had, I guess, financial abundance. Even though we did, I find out now that I get older, Dad had a lot of money, but he never showed it, you know what I mean? So that's probably like a really big thing I learned from him, was living below your means. And even now, like I still drive the same car that I've had since I was 16. Like I haven't increased anything, probably besides my environment, which is my apartment, yeah.
Man, I get goosebumps listening to that, man. It's inspiring. It's it went out around a lot last year, I think, because of the pandemic. Apparently going into another recession now, and it's Tony Robbins really shared it around a lot. But it was, bad times make strong people make good times make weak people, and weak exactly. people make bad times. Yeah. So it's just really around, like,
I love that.
When you have challenges, when you have struggles, when you have pain, when you don't have the luxuries growing up, it fucking strengthens you.
Yeah,
it's that adversity that gives you that scar tissue, those calluses that allow you to push through pain, which allow you to not break, which has shown up so many times in your story, man. So it's fucking awesome. What a story.
Yeah, man, what a story.
Let's go self-development. What have been some of the self-development, whether it's a book or a mentor or a course, that have really shaped you, have been quite pivotal along your journey to what you're doing now?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first two off the top of my head is definitely been mentorships and reading as well. I definitely don't read as much as I did last year now, just because I'm a lot more busier, but that's no excuse. I still do it every night. But yeah, mentorships was a big one. I think last year I spent around 31 grand on mentorships and courses, which was, you know, it's like ridiculous, but I see such a high ROI from it. Like probably the biggest course that I bought last year from a well-known person was Joel Kaplan. He's like an 8-figure marketing agency owner. And that alone was 10 grand. And the amount of stuff that I learned from that was just ridiculous. And I can see the biggest ROI from it was just implementing a referral program for the agency for existing clients, because if you want to sell new clients, it's a lot harder to sell to new people. Whereas if you just look at your clients that you have and go, hey, do you know another agent that is, you know, want to implement this? Maybe they're your cousin, they're in a different area, so it doesn't clash.
Yeah.
And that helped us scale from like 20 to 22 grand per month to hit like 30, 32. Like it was just the only reason why people don't scale is because of the information that they have. And that's what I saw it like, was like, I need to buy these mentorships and courses into these 8-figure entrepreneurs because they know something that I don't. That's why they're doing what they're doing. So yeah, mentorships is definitely a big one. Reading, Psycho-Cybernetics and The Slight Edge are like my top two books. I've read those about 2-3 times. Just the biggest thing is self-awareness. And no matter what it is that you're doing, if you're in business or if you're just, you know, at a normal 9-to-5 job, well, you can tell when someone is self-aware. And it's also, I guess, emotional maturity and just knowing yourself. And that's definitely helped me a lot, especially at stressful times in the business, which, yeah, I'm a young kid. And when you're stressed a lot, you don't know how to handle it. So, yeah, definitely reading and mentorships, man.
Powerful, man. Have you got a top? You said two books, Cybernetics. What was the second one?
The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson.
Beautiful. Have you got another couple of books that you can recommend to the people listening?
Yeah, 100%. I actually have a list. So
epic. Read it out.
So Atomic Habits, James Clear.
Beautiful.
It's another good one. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's more like financial literacy because, yeah, it's so important. I don't know why they don't teach it in school because... Man. Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to handle their money, like, at all. And that's why I'm really grateful for my parents because, yeah, they instilled living below your means at a very young age. And, yeah, I think it's definitely a big thing that the school system needs to definitely fix.
Man, I'm very passionate about that topic because I did Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was 18. So I repeated year 12 to go to university. And in that repeat year, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and then dropped out. So I was like,
yeah, exactly. I think I did the exact same thing. I was listening to the audiobook. I didn't actually read it. I listened to the audiobook and I was like, nah, it's not for me. capacity.
Like, this is shit. Like, I'm literally going to never be able to stop working again. It's the worst tax advantages, blah, 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 blah. So
exactly. It's so unfair, hey, like the amount of tax advantages that business owners have. Like, I write off so much stuff.
And how does mindset or beliefs or, I guess, emotional intelligence, how does that play a role with you? Like, what do you do to, I guess, handle? Obviously, you mentioned the word stress, being a business owner. And it's like healthy stress, right? Going to the gym, you want to put healthy stress on your body so you can grow from it. So, I guess, how does mindset, awareness, beliefs, how does that play a role with what you do?
It definitely plays a really, really big role. I mean, at times when, you know, a sales call didn't go well or you aren't hitting the KPIs that you want, you can get really, really stressed. And my escape at the start was just going to the gym. But I realized once I finished my session and came back, I was back in reality. So what I do now is obviously I do 15 to 10 minutes of meditation every single morning. Like, I do that just for headspace, clarity. And then I'm like set, I'm ready to go. Because yeah, I remember a time last year when I lost, I think, about 60 to 70% of my clients. And I was just like all over the place. I remember going to dinner with my girlfriend at the time. We ordered food and I was just looking at the food and I wasn't eating. I didn't drink. And she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah." And that's when I realized, I was like, I have no idea how to handle the stress. I need to do something. So yeah, definitely reading Psycho-Cybernetics was like a really, really big eye-opener, because it basically teaches like your inner works, like your self-image, because the outer world is just a reflection of the inner world. That's all it is. And I'm a big believer in that and manifestation as well. So I think at stressful times, what I do is meditation, obviously being active, going to the gym. It's just a part of my identity now. I feel off if I don't go.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps a lot, because yeah, in business, shit can hit the fan, and then yeah, you can have really good months, really bad months as well. So yeah.
Powerful, bro. There's something comes to mind as you said, Psycho-Cybernetics. Who wrote that again? I read it a while ago.
I think it's Max Kedwell. It's Max someone. Max, I don't know his last name, but
he was the plastic surgeon, right? And he would have someone come to him for plastic surgery. He would do exactly what they said, but because their self-image of how they looked didn't change, they still saw themselves as ugly, right? Yeah.
So even if someone got their nose done and it looks perfect, they would still see themselves as quote unquote ugly. And that was just like an inner belief that they had kept the whole year. And that's basically preaches like how we help them to, I guess, release those limiting beliefs and change their self-image. Yeah.
So a line I use a lot, I don't know if I got it from that or someone else, but we don't see the world. Sorry, we don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. And that's like whatever's inside. If you're angry, sad, depressed, self-loathing, that's how you're going to see the world. If you are abundant, you feel like you're worthy of opportunities, you're going to see it everywhere. So this came to mind as you were mentioning. Man, I was going to ask, for someone who wants to start their own business, whether it's an agency or a coaching business or a network marketing, affiliate, drop shipping, whatever it may be, what would you say to someone? What tips or strategies or mentorship or advice would you give someone who's wanting to start their own business and they're ready to pull the trigger, they're ready to dive into it? What would you say to them?
I think definitely try research it yourself on YouTube first, because there is so much stuff and free value out there on YouTube that like you can literally learn how to run Facebook ads if you just search it up on YouTube. Like, it's really not that hard. But yeah, I think definitely the starting out, to answer your question, is just research it at the start first. And if you're still struggling, and just start. Like, the biggest thing I see a lot of my friends do, especially when they come to me with business ideas that are not even related to the agency, is they don't try it themselves. Like, they don't start. I think it's the fear of failure that holds them back. And if you can just get rid of that and go, I know I'm going to suck, like I should just try it out to see how it goes. Like, that can save you and you can learn a lot of stuff more than if you just, you know, built your website, didn't send any traffic to it, or, you know, Googled this and that. If you just start, you know, after watching YouTube and researching, you'll learn a lot more. And to add to that, also mentorships is like the biggest thing. And I preach that to everyone. Like, you go and see a personal trainer to get fit, why wouldn't you get the same for your business? You know what I mean? So like, yeah, mentorships is just such a big hack to skip, because you're literally just learning from someone that's was in a position where you were, you know what I mean? And they've made all the mistakes. So why wouldn't you just learn from them? Mm. So yeah, that's probably what I'd recommend for someone starting out is YouTube it, just start, and mentorships.
Man, can we dive into that fear of failure? Because I had a podcast with a friend of mine from a while ago, and it was something that stood out a lot in him, and I certainly see it in you, is that lack of fear of failure. I'm sure it's shown up before, but it's like you're taking action. You're not making an excuse. Your resourceful comes up again. I guess, how have you been able to continuously just put yourself out there? Because some people won't make, and I used to be there, so I can speak from experience. Like, I remember the first video I posted on Facebook, like before live videos around, it was just normal videos. Yeah. I remember it took me 30 minutes to film a 30-second video. I posted it and I turned my phone off for 24 hours because I didn't want to see all the comments.
Yeah.
And I was at school at the time. I was at PBC, if you know, that's a sporting school on the Gold Coast. And I was part of the footy boys. So I just knew I was going to fucking cop it at school. Yeah. So, but that fear of people's opinions, of failing, of looking stupid, of what if it fails, whatever. It held me back so much, man. But it hasn't shown up too much for you. You're moving to different cities. You've come from a different country. You've went to a job that you didn't love. So you're jumping on YouTube to figure it out. You're starting a business. You're getting VAs. You're sending out emails. You're just not letting that fear cripple you, man. So I guess, do you have a secret sauce or some beliefs or some things that you could add value to people who just heard what you said, but something showed up? Oh, but what if it fails? Oh, what if it doesn't work? What would you say to those people to help them overcome that fear of failure?
I think, like, life is so short. Like, you can't live your life wanting to just please other people. So if you know deep down, like, if you're working a job that you hate and you know you want to be doing something else, like working online, like, your life is so short. Like, people come and go in life like that. So I think instead of focusing on, oh, what if it fails? What if this happens? What if this, you know, doesn't work out? What if this doesn't work out? What if it does? Like, what if it does work out? You know, just like look at the you're focusing on the wrong thing. And when you focus on like everything that's going to fail, it's just going to attract to you, and you're just constantly going to be feeling all these negative emotions and you're feeling like shit. Whereas if you just shift your perspective to, okay, what if this does work out? Well, what if this does take off? I'll be in a much better place and I'll be a lot more happier, because at the end of the day, that's, you need to be happy with what you're doing. When I was working at that warehouse, I wasn't happy. So I think, yeah, the fear of failure. I read a really good book by 50 Cent and Robert Greene. I think it's called The 50th Law. Mm. And 50 Cent basically talks about in there, the fear of failure is what holds back a lot of people in life. And it's, I think I've seen it a lot with TikTok recently, where one of my mates is starting sort of like this coaching sort of business. And at the start, he was just so concerned about what other people would think. And same sort of stigma, you know, he was one of the footy boys and stuff like that. And he's like, what if people make fun of me? And I'm just like, what, like, is it going to matter in 5 years? Like, what if you're, you know, in Greece with your business, with your partner, and you're a lot more happier, but you're letting this hold you back? Like, are you really going to do that? You know what I mean? So I think I've just always had a positive mindset. I just think a little bit differently, as to like, if you just focus on the negative stuff, like, oh, if it doesn't work out, compared to what if it does, you're just going to view life a lot better, I think.
Powerful, sure. Powerful framing, bro. Really cool. Man, there's about three other topics I want to get done before we finish up. Man, I'd like to go, I think marketing would be a strength of yours given the nature of what you do. To be honest, it's something that I've never really nailed. I've been okay at it. Like, I understand adding value, solving problems, talking to people. But if you were to give like a little crash course on your secrets, or not secrets, your hot tips and what makes for effective marketing, what would you tell people for the podcast and me personally, to be honest?
I think leading with value is definitely a really big thing with any sort of marketing that works extremely well. Leading with free value is what works extremely well. To give you an example, that first client that we signed, they were doing developments in Milton near Suncorp Stadium here in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And what we sat down and we were like, okay, what can we do to get leads through the door? And when they sell a development, the developer gives them all these free resources that they can give out to the prospect at the appointment. So what we did was we advertised the free brochure. So they could just download it, put in their details, and then obviously download it, view it, and then obviously book in a time if they're ready to go. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, leading with free value where people actually get something out of it, whether it's free info, just like a video or anything like that, that works extremely well. And to add to that is sell with emotion, because all marketing is just a funnel to get, obviously, to sell them something.
Yeah.
But if you can sell with emotion, that can really drive a person, because people buy with emotion. That's why a girl gets her hair and nails done, is because of emotions. Definitely.
Can you go into that a little bit more? So what do you mean by, can you give an example? You say sell with emotion. How can someone add that to, so for business owners listening right now, how would they up their marketing? Add something free. I agree with that. Start with like a high value free lead magnet, get them into your funnel, into their world. Then how would you add a little bit of emotion into their marketing?
I think it's sort of how you sort of frame it with the, for example, Facebook ads in the ad copy. Say, for example, I'm selling like a bracelet for girls. Like, you can sell it towards guys and be like, oh my God, like my boyfriend just got me this. And a guy, if I'm a guy seeing that, and my partner's like, I'm seeing the emotion that other girls are getting from this bracelet, I'm more than likely to purchase or do like something out of it, because there's an emotion tied to it. So if you can tie an emotion to like they're missing out, or FOMO is definitely a really big one, you know, fear of missing out, that can tie to leading more sales and stuff like that as well. So yeah, we try to incorporate with every single ad that we run for the agency is some emotion to it. Like, don't miss out on crushing your GCI goals for this year. You know, don't miss out on listing that next property and stuff like that. For something to just get them, you know, motivated to get in contact with us, for sure.
Beautiful, man. And for people, I've heard this a lot with business owners I work with, is around their budget for marketing. What would you say is, because some people is, what if it doesn't work? What if I lose the money? How much is a good starting point for people? What would you say is a good budget to start with? Because from my understanding anyways, is you want to test things and kind of trial some ads, and then the one that's working, then pour the liquid onto the fire. So what would you say for budgeting for people to start marketing, putting paid advertising for their business?
I think at the start, if I definitely wouldn't be running paid advertising unless you have already consistent cash flow.
Great fucking tip.
Yeah. Because you're definitely, I don't know. I think at the start, you're just going to be wasting money because you don't have a really, really good offer that works. And once you have a good offer that works, because the offer is king, that's when you can pour money into it and test different creatives, ads, and everything like that. But to give you an example, I think we spend around $4,000 to $5,000 per month on ads, and that's like $100 a day, $150 or something a day, which I would not recommend for someone starting out. Like, unless you have consistent cash flow, that's when you can start out. And I wouldn't recommend anything less than $50 a day in ad spend. So what's that, like $3,000 a month?
Yep.
I don't know, man. It's horrible.
$3,000 a month. Beautiful, right? Man, two things, they probably will tie into them. Something that I mentioned at the start when I introduced you is your level of balance is awesome. It's really inspiring to see someone. When I was your age, man, I was just hustle. My health was, I was running gyms and I was so unhealthy, man. No word of a lie, I wouldn't eat all day. I'd live off 4 to 5 hours, sometimes 6 hours of sleep, work all through the day, try to get a little nap in there midday. And I wouldn't eat because I didn't have much money to eat, to be honest, back then. And then I would get just fast food on the way home just to stock up on calories, because it was cheap and it was a lot of calories. So it's just like you seem to be doing life, business in a really balanced way, man. So I'd love to know, how have you been able to, have balance in life and what it is that you're doing?
Routine is like the biggest thing for me. Hey, like if I'm not in routine, like I feel so off. So routine leads to consistency, and consistency leads to growth. That's all it is at the end of the day. I think I got that from Atomic Habits, from James Clear. So yeah, routine, consistency, growth, and then obviously growth is success. So being like having a good routine, you look at every successful person and they have a routine, whether it's a morning routine, a night routine, like it's the biggest thing for them. So mine is wake up, do my meditation, have a shower. I do not check my phone. Go to the gym, obviously feel good, like endorphins are in me, and then I'm ready to like smash the day. I might get coffee on the way. So yeah, routine is like the biggest thing where you can get work-life balance. And when I started out, I was exactly the same. I was like hustle, grind, like didn't go out, didn't reply to any of my friends. I was basically a hermit, just staying home, watching YouTube. And that's not healthy. Like, if you're not going out to, you know, under the sun, you're going to be like depressed, lonely. And I was at that time, I was quite upset because I wasn't making any money. I was working in a warehouse. I didn't have a routine. I secluded myself, and yeah, it's definitely not healthy at all. So I think having a good routine in place can give you a really good work-life balance as well.
Powerful, man. It's a similar question, so it'll tie into it. I'd just love to know, what are some of the daily habits or weekly habits that you do every day? You've mentioned meditation. You mentioned what are you saying there? A bit of a morning routine, afternoon routine, going to the gym consistently, reading. You mentioned that earlier as well, reading at night. Is there anything outside of what I've just said that you do consistently, either on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis that adds to who you are, your success, and what you do?
Yeah, I think one thing that I do at the end of every single month is, and everyone knows me for this, is I'm really big into like manifestation and law of attraction. So what I do is, like, I want to say almost all of my mirrors here are just covered in written goals. That's just not, it's very like, people look at it and go, oh, it's very woo-woo, like it's not going to happen. But if I wake up and I'm brushing my teeth and I see the list of stuff that I have to do, my why, my family and stuff like this, and the goals for the end of the year, like subconsciously, it does something to your brain where you're just like, this is why you're going. Like, this is what you're doing, what you're doing. And it just motivates me. Like, if it does nothing but motivate you, like I'm going to write everywhere, all over my apartment. So, and I think if you write down your goals, you're like 42% more likely to hit them. So yeah, I think besides that, outside my daily habits, meditation, shower, gym is definitely a really big one. I'm really big into manifestation and law of attraction as well. So that sort of plays a part in all my routine and stuff. Yeah.
Beautiful, bro. Man, if you had one message to leave to the world, to your family, to your legacy, what would it be?
Never give up. Like, I know that sounds so cliche, but like, never give up. Like, I see it so much in my life and my parents' life, is they just never gave up. Like, if you're just consistently waking up, doing the right things, being kind to everyone, you know, focusing on your goals, eating healthy, eating clean, like there's no way that if you have a goal in place that you're not going to hit that goal, unless obviously you don't take action and stuff like that. But yeah, probably never give up and focus on getting 1% better every single day, because that's all you can do. If you're not growing, you're basically dying. You're basically dying. You know, man, what I mean?
This has been an awesome podcast, man. You've inspired me. We were talking before the podcast about vision boards and all that stuff. And I was actually, I can't remember what I watched, but it was a Sabri Subi book. I don't know if you know Sabri Subi. He's a sales guy in Australia. And it was just I watched a video on him. Just
bored guy?
Yeah, bored guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sell like crazy. It's a good book. I'm halfway through it. So really good stuff. And he was just talking about just motivation and how he wakes up every single day. And he has, similar to what you said, he's got things that he reads. He can read his why, he can read his goals, his vision every single day. And I have mine, but I don't have it in my room. So, man, you've inspired me. I'm going to do that today. So, yeah. And I've got a lot out of this, heaps of gold nuggets for anyone that's watching this. You might want to watch it again because there's 10, 15, 20 gold nuggets right here, man. If anyone wants to connect with you, brother, whether it's for just personal to say thank you, whether it's just to use your services for any agencies, who do you work with? Do you work with people outside of just real estate agents, or is it purely real estate agents?
Yeah, so purely real estate agents. Oh, we do. It's more like 80% real estate and then 20% mortgage brokers, but they're basically the same thing. It's all with houses.
Beautiful. Anyone with houses or selling their houses, hit this man up. Where can they find you if they want to hit you up?
So probably Instagram's the best place. So Dylan W. Marley is my Instagram. So yeah, you can send me a message there. And then for the agency, it's called the number 2 and then Soul on Instagram as well and Facebook. Yeah.
Powerful, man. Thank you for your time, bro. Thank you for the value you've given today. There's tons in here. And man, I look forward to seeing your journey. You're going to make a fucking huge impact, man.
No, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you for inviting me on. I really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you.